You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Little Feedback Friday edition here. Got our OG Wolves guy, Judd, executive producer extraordinaire, Declan, and a nice little win for the Wolves last night.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Going into Milwaukee. Yeah.
What's going on with the Bucks, too?
Well, Damian Lillard didn't play, but even with him, it's funny because like the Bucks seem like they're just reeling, right? They fired a coach and they've been blowing all these leads like the Wolves, and yet they're still. You know, what are they, third still in the Eastern Conference, 33-19, even after three straight losses. So It's nice to build up a cushion. In the Western Conference standings, the Wolves and the Nuggets are tied at the top, 36-16. The Thunder are a half game back, and then the Clippers, who the Wolves play tomorrow, are just a game back. And then you got the Suns lurking a few games back. The Pelicans are lurking in that sixth seed right now. So it is wild out there in the Western Conference, boys.
I didn't tell you guys about the bet I made on my birthday with a friend of mine who doesn't believe in the Wolves basically at all. And there was a couple Manhattans involved here, too. So there was some cocktail lubricant that made this bet. But I made a bet that they will be the one seed by the time the playoffs start. And if they're not the one seed, then I owe him the entire first round of golf. Greens fees, drinks, the turn. Everything.
So I feel like you should get some odds on that, though, because like there's some really good. I think at this point, because like the Nuggets have caught them. I don't know if you can go back and get like 2-1. Like if you win, he should pay for more, you know, more golf than you're paying for, is my point.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that as well. I can
probably
see that
way
as well.
Too late for that.
Yeah.
It's
now
probably.
It's too late.
Yeah. He's two months in.
Shook
your hand very fast.
Yeah. Yep.
But last night they had the most threes they've made all year. The most field goals they've made all year. 21 made threes last night. They had the second most assists in a game all year. The third fewest turnovers with 8. And Kyle Anderson, with the stress of the trade deadline now being alleviated, puts up a classic Kyle Anderson performance. The defense was on point. He winds up scoring 8 points on 3 shots, 6 assists, including a transition lob to Rudy at one point. If you haven't seen that highlight, it's awesome. 5 rebounds, 3 steals. So,
He cleared
his mind last night. Yeah.
That's all you want, right? Slow-mo? No one's asking for a lot. Just solid play.
Yeah.
That's great.
Don't get technicals late. And I think Monte Morris is going to help with that second unit and the offensive problems too. But yeah, he was like classic Kyle Anderson. Just 20 minutes of Swiss Army knife, doing everything, distributing, lobs, all that stuff. So, and by the way, the Jim Pete episode from yesterday, people seem to be digging that. So thank you guys for supporting these Jim Peterson episodes. He's going to be a regular recurring guest on Flagrant Howls, probably weekly, but his travel schedule is going to be kind of crazy too. But would you guys like some buyout candidates in list form here?
So this is next, right? Deadline's passed.
This is the next phase of player acquisition that the Timberwolves are usually not a part of.
Okay.
Because this is like,
absolutely,
teams don't want to pay for, you know, teams like a player gets traded and then doesn't want to play for that team, or the team has no use for that player. And so they buy that player's contract out, and then that player can sign for almost nothing with contending teams. And the Wolves are now one of those contending teams.
Before we start this, do you need to cover yourself in the protection of the reckless speculation sounder?
You know, I don't think it's reckless, but I mean, just to be safe.
I'm just offering you the blanket of reckless speculation safety.
And I'm getting, by the way, the hack for this is I went to our guy Sheldon Wallman at Clutch Points. He put together a list of five. So I'm just going to give you his list of five because he's a super sharp dude. You see him at Target Center in the media row. And he has five. What's funny is like almost all these dudes are via the Pistons in some way, because the Pistons are just like a transaction machine right now. Just, okay, yeah, we'll take your expiring contract, get rid of this guy.
That's what they should do.
You know, okay, we'll cut this guy off our roster. So these are five buyout candidates that could be great potential fits off the Wolves bench. I'll get just one more time. Just be safe.
Speculation
from Sheldon Wallman over at Clutch Points. Number one, Danilo Gallinari got waived yesterday by the Pistons. Mm-hmm. This is a big time 3-point shooter over the past decade plus in the NBA. He did spend several years in Denver when Tim Connelly was there. I think he last was there maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So it's been a while, but it's funny because he's like 6'10". But he's not really a big man. He's like a 6'10" wing player. So you could play him with Gobert and Cat. He's essentially be like a small forward or a wing. And, you know, he's definitely not getting younger. But Danilo Gallinari as maybe a 15-minute, 16-minute, just sniper shooter off the wing, hitting those open looks, spacing in the corner.
I love it.
Could be really interesting. Okay. Right. Joe Harris is another one that was also waived by the Pistons yesterday. Sniper 3-point shooter in his career, 44% 3-point make percentage in his career.
Yes.
He has twice led the league in 3-point percent. He shot 47% one year, like 5 or 6 years ago from three.
He played for the Nets, right?
Yep. Long time Net.
So the thing I love about Joe is this. He is in that probably pool of five guys in the entire league who look like they belong in a pickup game at the YMCA.
Oh yeah.
But they're marksmen.
Yep. Like Joe Harris.
Like I watch him.
Joe Ingles was one of them.
Like they look like they belong. Like they literally look like they left their
Kyle
downtown.
Kyle Anderson is the George Washington on that Mount Rushmore. Oh,
yeah. Little noon game, and then they go back to work.
It's like, yeah, you get done with the game and Joe Harris and Kyle Anderson just carved you up. And Jordan McLaughlin, like, just go back to your hotel room. But yeah, he is when he is getting open looks, he is a 44% career 3-point shooter, 6'6" wing player, 32 years old. Danwell House, who is another 6'6" wing, 30 years old, was traded by the Sixers to the Pistons yesterday, and the Pistons then, waived him. So another Pistons transaction.
Had like 20 guys on their roster by the end of yesterday.
They've won two games in a row now, by the way.
Hey.
The Pistons, let's go. So how about this? He's like a league average make percentage throughout his career. He's like a 35, 36% guy. Not as good the last couple of years, but 60% of his career shot attempts are from 3-point range. So he's not going to be the most efficient shooter, but he will shoot a lot of 3-pointers.
Not sure I like this. That one.
I think this next one here, number 4 out of 5, is right up Judd's alley. You guys are both hockey guys too, so this is right up your alley.
Okay.
Marcus Morris, 34-year-old, hard-nosed, veteran wing, kind of a
grinder,
a little bit of a Draymond Green, kind of like Mucker? Enforcer, muck it up kind of a guy. Now, the 76ers traded him to the Spurs yesterday, and he hasn't officially been bought out as of the recording of this episode, but he's likely to be bought out by the Spurs because, you know, the Spurs aren't going anywhere, and Morris is 34 years old. 38% career three-point shooter. He's also like 6'7", 6'8", so he's a little bit bigger. 67 career playoff games. You remember most of those being with the Celtics and the Clippers, so just a lot of, like, deep playoff round battles against some of the best teams in the NBA, and he would bring a little bit more of a salt of the earth grit
battler
to your personality. Yeah.
I think I'm still on the Joe Harris or Gallinari train here.
Okay. I'll give you the last one and then I'll rank them in terms of like my wish list, but Evan Fournier is the last one on this list. 31-year-old Frenchman who has a great connection with Rudy Gobert on the French international team, national team. Now, he was traded from the Knicks to the Pistons yesterday, and the Pistons are likely to buy him out. So another Pistons connection. He's been in Tom Thibodeau's doghouse for basically the last, like, 2 years. He just hasn't played a whole lot, but he's a career 38% three-point shooter. Not the same guy he was, like, in Orlando when he was actually scoring, like, almost 20 points a game in Orlando. Mm-hmm. But like as the third or fourth guy coming off your bench, 12 minutes here, 15 minutes there, he could maybe knock down some open threes. So I'm kind of with you though, Judd. I think I would go Gallinari number one, mm-hmm. Joe Harris number two, and Marcus Morris number three, mm-hmm. in that order. I saw that Spencer didn't Spencer Dinwiddie get waived yesterday too. He's not on this list from Clutch Points, but that's another one to maybe keep an eye on. But yeah, it'd be great if you could just add like 15, 16, maybe sometimes 20 minutes of a guy that can get out there and, hey, Anthony Edwards is driving and three defenders come in and whoop, there's a pass to the corner. Oh, hi, it's Danilo Gallinari, you know, career 40% 3-point guy.
Exactly. Just a guy who is a microwave, comes in for a brief time, just lights
pop,
it up,
pop, pop, pop,
bang. Boom. And then he's gone. And guess what? He just hit three huge shots.
Yeah. And yes. Guess what? You're down by double digits now. Yeah. So
can I add one more to the list? And he's not on this list. And in fact, I'm not certain he'll be bought out, but what about if Seth Curry gets bought out?
That's an interesting one. Yeah. So he's probably going to get what was the transaction? He got sent somewhere yesterday, right?
Back to Dallas, I think, for like, isn't like the third time I know he's played there before, but I think he went to Dallas, correct?
No, Charlotte, right? Hornets. No, Hornets traded PJ Washington for Seth Curry and Grant Williams. So Charlotte would. Yeah, here was the deal. This is from, I don't know, a Charlotte TV station. Hornets are trading PJ Washington to the Mavericks. And they're getting Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and 2027 first round pick. So Charlotte would likely buy him out, I would think, because they're 10-40, and Seth Curry is a veteran player that could maybe add something. But yeah, Dex, this is an interesting one. So he's 33 now, which is kind of crazy how fast life comes at you. He has a 43% career rate from three, but this year it's 36%, which is a career low, which is still like league average, by the way. So could he come in off the bench 12, 15 minutes here and there and tap into the great shooter that he used to be? Now, he's more of like a shooting guard, point guard. So that's where like he's 6'1". Monte Morris kind of fills the role that Seth Curry might fill. Right. I would probably lean more toward like the size of some of these other guys. If I can get like a 6'6", 6'8", 6'10", Gallinari, I'd probably go size. But yeah. Seth Curry is an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think I would go with a guy that I just deemed to be a designated shooter. Like, I just want you to hit shots. Because that's, as you know, I think it was on Wednesday, Phil, that we talked about this. That, to me, because that solves spacing problems, which the Wolves aren't great at spacing sometimes. I mean, it gets really, really hanky. That solves a lot of things. And if you can get him to do it, then, as we saw against the Bulls, when Ant is driving to the basket and you see three Bulls around him, somebody's wide open.
Who's he trusting? Yeah, he's, you know, is he now? Jordan McLaughlin has knocked down a higher percentage of threes this year than any other year, but I don't know how much trust there is when you're like, okay, can I? should I make a play in the corner right. to J-Mac? I don't know. I think I'll just take it myself.
And I'm talking a playoff game, too. Like, yep. I'm talking ultimate trust here.
Yep. So there's a list. Let us know in the YouTube comment section. Do any of these guys do anything for you? Are there any other names that we should be talking about here over the next few weeks? Let's also do some feedback Friday here. We'll get into some Carl Anthony Towns stuff and a couple other fun topics presented by our friend David at First Equity Mortgage, diehard Timberwolves fan. In fact, David's been a 20-year season ticket holder for Timberwolves and Lynx games. First Equity is a Minnesota-based, 24 years in the market, by the way, mortgage company that prides themselves on supporting the community, treating every customer as a friend and a neighbor, just like they did for me. A few years ago, I had an amazing experience refinancing one of my old homes with David over at First Equity Mortgage. They work fast. They have a great reputation, and not only a great reputation in the community, but also around the country. David is one of the top 1% loan originators in the country for the last 15 years. So you know you're getting a great experience at First Equity Mortgage. FEMORT.com. That's FEMORT.com or ScoreNorth.com. Keyword David. Okay, boys. This is from Spanish 24/7 on YouTube. Cat has become a two-way player, second in defense, only behind Gobert. Is much to say for an offensive player like him. This is a butchered sentence by Spanish 24/7, but the point is, Cat has become a two-way player.
Yep.
Last night after the game, Dane Moore was talking to Anthony Edwards about the job that the Wolves did on Giannis. And Ant immediately responded, "Don't say y'all. It's not y'all. It's Carl. Carl Anthony Towns." He said, "He ain't a weak link on defense, especially when he makes his mind up. He's definitely not a weak link. He can move them. He's strong enough to stand a player up in the post. He's versatile. Definitely not a weak link." Cat has the second best defensive win share mark in the NBA behind only Rudy Gobert.
Yep.
And this year is his best defensive net rating as an individual in 5 seasons. So, and he did a great job last night in part on Giannis.
He deserves a ton of credit too. Like, just to be clear, he deserves for a guy who I think was often the biggest problem, like his play, he's been ultra talented his entire career, but like, you think about the amount of conversations that we've had on Wolves shows about Cat, right? Cat pouting, Cat whining at officials, Cat doing this, Cat doing that. If you think about it, for the most part, especially since that Boston game, he has really, like, you don't notice him other than his play, which is a great mm-hmm. thing.
Yep.
Like, there's a way less BS here, and when this team does collapse and does have problems, Carl's not atop that list now. And the 62-point game, I will say this. I think the biggest problem with that one was the fact of what Cat's teammates were doing to try to get him the ball and sacrificing the team itself. But that wasn't necessarily like, oh, Carl's demanding the ball. It was just sort of a very weird, unnecessary thought that the Wolves were going to win by so much that how they played didn't matter. But I give Carl a ton of credit here. He's done a lot of things well, deserves a ton of credit. And he not only has sacrificed to take in a role, which, by the way, I think he's great at. He's not only sacrificed, but he also has developed his game all around, as that points out, much more so. So kudos,
yeah,
Carl.
This is – it's funny because, like, statistically, he has put up much bigger numbers in seasons and, like, in terms of season averages. But – in terms of being a winning player and doing things that are necessary to win, fitting in the right way, playing defense the right way. And it's not that shocking because you should become more of a winning player the further you get into your prime. But he is. I think this is the most, can I say this is the most like winning version of Carl Anthony Towns that we've probably
and
seen.
Mature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
No, keep it going in the playoffs.
Feels like that Celtics game early in the year, which was like a game of the year for the Wolves, but that where he was just completely ineffective, that kind of seemed like a turning point for him.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Yep, definitely. I mean, it was a low point for sure, because you literally had guys like Brian Windhorst coming on ESPN the week after saying that, I don't think the Wolves could get a first round pick, singular pick for Karl-Anthony Towns in a trade.
Yep.
And now here we are, he's an all-star and he's probably tracking to flirt with like a third team All-NBA if he keeps playing like this.
Can I draw a comparison between this version of Cat and 2022 Kirk Cousins? Stats went down a little bit, but they won 12 games, right? And he did things that, to the word that you used, Phil, were winning things. Like it feels like there is a correlation there, because if you just look at stats, you're exactly right. It's like, well, Cat's always great. Well, no, if you watch him play, this version and what he's doing now and contributing to me is a world of difference.
Jay on YouTube says, I'm a Jazz fan still mourning the loss of Rudy Gobert. It's incredible. I just watched the NBA trade deadline show on ESPN. I heard Minnesota only twice in a 3-hour show. What disrespect. I really hope you guys, Wolves fans, are going to go on a deep run to shut up all of those national media mouths.
That's not a bad, I mean.
They haven't done anything to warrant being talked about. Just in the history of the franchise to this point. They're tied right now in the Western Conference standings with the Nuggets. They're right ahead of the Clippers, and the Clippers haven't won a championship. But, like, there's teams that have been good and competing and contending and are winning championships for a long time, way ahead of the Wolves. So I will not be offended by this. They have to go and make a run. Go win a playoff series and get people talking about you. I'm not going to fall into this, like, oh, why won't they talk about
Guess what? Force a studio crew to come here for the conference finals.
And bitch about it. Can Force you imagine, them into like, Stephen to, A. Smith?
Charles would be, Barkley will take us. He will not be pleased at all.
It's beautiful, but like it's in May, June.
He actually would like the golf. Barkley would like the golf. Because
he'd complain about downtown.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
Well,
there's great restaurants, though, for Chuck. I think we could show Chuck a really good time in Minneapolis. Okay. Yeah, golf courses, some great restaurants. Take him to Manny's, you know. Take him to Porzana. Judd, your new favorite spot.
Porzana's fantastic. In fairness, Kendrick Perkins does like the Wolves.
He does.
Kendrick Perkins, in fact, Kendrick Perkins is confrontational to his cohorts, who tried to dismiss the Wolves. So it's pretty good.
And Austin Rivers is on some of these panels now too, and he's kind of
weird dude. Austin's a weird guy.
He can be really confrontational. Him and Kendrick Perkins got into it really kind of awkwardly on set yesterday.
Yes. Like unnecessarily.
At one point, Perk was like, "Hey, just let me finish. Calm down, dude. Give it a rest." Brendan Slob says, "Jim Pete is an absolute legend. Even in all those years where we sucked, Jim was so interactive with fans and always held the team accountable on the broadcast and would call the players out when needed. Jim knows basketball as a player and as a WNBA title winning coach. We are lucky to have such a great resource here on Flagrant House." He's great, man. Like he has a way of being able to say it like it is while still loving the team. And you know, like so many guys in that spot on TV are paralyzed by the idea of speaking truth. You can do it in a respectful way and still maintain relationships, and he's done it for 20 plus years.
He also knows so much about the game itself. That's the incredible thing. Like my biggest thing is going into every game, teach me something, right?
Yeah.
Jim Pete teaches you every single time. Sorry, most guys don't.
Puts in a ton of prep work, by the way. Like a lot of dudes just kind of say, "Hey, I used to play in the NBA for 15 years. I'm just going to show up tonight.
Right.
Watch a game."
Michael Grady and Jim Pete, where do they rank in recent broadcast sports history of this town? Where do they rank? I think they're one of the best. I think they are probably, and I don't watch a ton of games outside of this market, I think they have to be one of the best in the league right now.
Oh, yeah.
But those two together, I mean, Michael Grady is not going to be here long, I don't think. I think he's going to be a national guy.
But you can do, like, I mean, you can do national.
It just gets to be a lot.
Well, but the number one national, Mike Breen, has done Knicks games for years. So
that's true, but Michael Grady is outstanding. But Jim Pete, like, I go through this, and if you think about it, now Provis on TV is going to be fantastic, but he's going to work with a rotation of guys. Like, Jim Pete's at every game, and great. I'm hard-pressed to think of a team, especially on television, that even approaches them in this town in, like, the last 10 years.
We're obviously, you know, very critical sometimes of our local announcers, but I would say that the Wolves crew that they have is by far the best. They are excellent. The whole thing is. And look, they've had, what, Kevin Harlan back in the day used to call Wolves games. Yep. They've had, you know, the late Tom Hanneman, who was also incredible at what he did. So
Gus Johnson. Sean Grandy came in here for like a year, too, before going Celtics for 20 years.
But yeah, they have the best crew by far. I watched a ton of like other MLB and NHL crews over the last few years, and there's some that I definitely like. But I would say the Wolves are by far the cream of the crop here in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's I mean, and Jim Pete's the best color commentator locally, I think. Like, and I watch enough League Pass and stuff. I just think he's the most prepared. He'll take his like local beer goggles off more than the other ones to say something that's truthful. Buddy the Dog chimes in here and says, I think Chris Finch is a phenomenal coach in many areas. Having said that, why is it that no young players like Wendell Moore, Josh Minot, as examples, get any playing time? Are we not developing young players? Ant and Jaden McDaniels do not make up for all the others sitting on the bench and not playing. You cannot win a championship with only an 8-man rotation. Any injury will bring the season to an immediate halt. Last night, you know, so Jordan McLaughlin was injured and he popped up late on the injury report, and Monte Morris has not joined the team yet. So they were already thin before the game, right? And so Chris Finch says, okay, just going to play an 8-man rotation. Everyone's going to play a bunch of minutes. Leonard Miller is going to be a rotation guy at some point, but defense is still a problem. I think probably more of a next year conversation for him. These other guys, Finch just doesn't trust yet. I mean, Wendell Moore Jr. has a really hard time making shots, even in the G League. So you just can't really, trust him on either side of the ball right now. Luka Garza is fun and he cleans up. He's like the quad A baseball player who hits like 40 bombs in AAA.
Yeah, he's a quad A guy.
It's tough for him to hang defensively.
Yep.
Josh Minot, kind of an energizer bunny, but yeah, like it's a little bit tough. There's a little Tom Thibodeau in Chris Finch, like Royce, he was telling us this week that he just doesn't trust certain guys. And if you fall out of favor, he's just not going to circle back to you.
Yep.
So it is, a little bit mildly annoying, I would say.
So when of those guys, do you think that any of them break or get into the rotation this season? Or do you think it is probably a 2024-25 thing?
I don't think this season. They've had so many chances with, like, they've been a player short for the whole year, basically. And they still have not really given. I thought they might give some run to, like, a Josh Minot. But at this point, especially if you get into the buyout market, you're going to have, like, 11 dudes. So you're going to have, starting when McLaughlin comes back and then when Monte Morris comes in, you'll have 10 in your rotation. And then if they get like a Gallinari or, you know, any of the names we just talked about, they will have 11 credible. That's where like Jordan McLaughlin probably gets some DNP CDs and we'll see what happens to like Kyle Anderson's minutes. But I think they've got enough veterans if they get one more in the buyout market. But yeah, some of these guys, especially with the luxury tax issues next year, they're going to need like a Leonard Miller making $2 million to kind of figure it out. Mm-hmm. And even from a trade perspective, it'd be great if like Wendell Moore Jr. had some trade value and you could float him as part of a package, but because you don't have first round picks as much to trade. But that's probably the one, like one of the knocks on what they're doing is they just have no time for some of these young players, or they whiffed on them, or they're not developing them. I don't know. They're 20 games over 500.
I was going to say, and if they start to play them and they fail, Finch is going to get criticized heavily for that. So,
well, remember when he tinkered with a weird lineup, and it wasn't like these young guys necessarily, right. But he tinkered with a weird lineup against the Spurs and they got smoked off the court, and people were like wanting him fired for, Can you imagine if you, all right, you know what? I'll give you guys what you want. Wendell Moore is going to play for 15 minutes tonight next to Josh Minot.
And now he does get fired.
Yeah. No, we don't need to be firing Chris Finch, folks, if they have a bad game against the Clippers.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Yeah, they're good. Yeah, the record's good, but Finch can't coach. Look what the Bucks did.
No, he's coaching brilliantly. Think about where this thing stood at times last year where you literally couldn't play your 2 7-footers next to each other without like a negative net rating. And they were trying to just sort of work around that. He's getting those guys to thrive and be one of the best starting pairings in the entire league. Naz Reid, we can do an episode on this next week. Naz Reid, negative net rating by a mile with Rudy Gobert. His worst two-man pairing last year was Rudy Gobert. This year, his best two-man pairing is Rudy Gobert. Anthony Edwards is second. Like, he's getting these guys. He's unlocking these guys.
And they were toxic, too, last year. Like, you've got, what, Gobert taking a punch at Kyle? Like, that whole thing felt really, really toxic. So, no, they get a lot of credit. And, again, I'll go back to this. I think Cat accepting, like, his role and sort of, I don't want to say shutting up, but he certainly does not seem to be as demonstrative. I think that has helped a lot.
Yep, he's fit in brilliantly, 100%. And again, last night, like, he launched 6 3-pointers. Sometimes you wonder, like, why isn't he shooting threes? He's been shooting more threes recently, 4 of 6 last night. So we'll see what happens here in the last 3 games of this road trip before the All-Star break. And yeah, go check out the Jim Peterson episode from this week and from last week if you've missed those on Thursdays. This is Flagrant Howls, everybody's favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. See you guys.